Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's now join together in song with hymn number 317. Welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Nature's Lesson Unfoldment. Along the lines of Mrs. Eddy's statement in Science and Health, page 68, that Christian Science presents unfoldment, not accretion. I shall be reading from the Authorized or King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. And this time I'm throwing in a couple of pertinent passages from Mary Baker Eddy's miscellaneous writings. I shall read from the Bible. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself, upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Psalms. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. The Song of Solomon. I am the rose of Sharon, and the lily of the valleys. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. For lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates, with pleasant fruits, camphire, with spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all the trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come thou south. Blow upon thy garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden, and eat his pleasant fruits. His mouth is most sweet. Yea, he is altogether lovely. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards, and let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear, and the pomegranates bud forth. St. Matthew: and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. St. Mark: and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, So is the kingdom of God as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise day and night, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Isaiah and 2 Peter. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. I shall also read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, and from Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy. Nature voices natural, spiritual law, and divine love, but human belief misinterprets nature. Arctic regions, sunny tropics, giant hills, winged winds, mighty billows, verdant vales, festive flowers and glorious heavens all point to mind, the spiritual intelligence they reflect. The floral apostles are hieroglyphs of deity. Suns and planets teach grand lessons. The stars make night beautiful, and the leaflet turns naturally towards the light. It is love which paints the petal with myriad hues, glances in the warm sunbeam, arches the cloud with a bow of beauty, blazons the night with starry gems, and covers earth with loveliness. Love, redolent with unselfishness, bathes all in beauty and light. The grass beneath our feet silently exclaims, "The meek shall inherit the earth." The modest arbutus sends her sweet breath to heaven. The great rock gives shadow and shelter. The sunlight glints from the church dome, glances into the prison cell, glides into the sick chamber, brightens the flower, beautifies the landscape, blesses the earth. Genesis 1:11, "And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so." The tree and herb do not yield fruit because of any propagating power of their own, but because they reflect the mind which includes all. The only intelligence or substance of a thought, a seed, or a flower is God, the creator of it. The seed within itself is the pure thought emanating from divine mind. By its own volition, not a blade of grass springs up, not a spray buds within the veil, not a leaf unfolds its fair outlines, not a flower starts from its cloistered cell. Christian Science presents unfoldment, not accretion. It manifests no material growth from molecule to mind, but an impartation of the divine mind, man and the universe. The universe reflects God. There is but one creation, one creator and one creation. This creation consists of the unfolding of spiritual ideas and their identities, which are embraced in the infinite mind and forever reflected. Immortal and divine mind presents the idea of God first in light, second in reflection, third in spiritual and immortal forms of beauty and goodness. But this mind creates no element or symbol of discord and decay. The decaying flower, the blighted bud, the gnarled oak, the ferocious beast, like the discords of disease, sin, and death, are unnatural. They are the falsities of sense, the changing deflections of mortal mind. They are not the eternal realities of mind. The realization that all in harmony is unreal brings objects and thoughts into human view in their true light and presents them as beautiful and immortal. Having one God, one mind, unfolds the power that heals the sick and fulfills these sayings of Scripture, "I am the Lord that healeth thee, and I have found a ransom." The divine mind which forms the bud and blossom will care for the human body even as it clothes the lily. But let no mortal interfere with God's government by thrusting in the laws of erring human concepts. The definitions of material law, as given by natural science, represent a kingdom necessarily divided against itself, because these definitions portray law as physical, not spiritual. Therefore, they contradict the divine decrees and violate the law of love, in which nature and God are one, and the natural order of heaven comes down to earth. My sense of the beauty of the universe is that beauty typifies holiness and is something to be desired. Earth is more spiritually beautiful to my gaze now than when it was more earthly to the eyes of Eve. The pleasant sensations of human belief, of form and color, must be spiritualized until we gain the glorified sense of substances in the new heaven and earth, the harmony of body and mind. To take all earth's beauty into one gulp of acuity and label beauty nothing is ignorantly to caricature God's creation, which is unjust to human sense and to the divine realism. In our immature sense of spiritual things, let us say of the beauties of the sensuous universe, I love your promise, and shall know sometime the spirituality and substance of form, light, and color of what I now, through you, discern dimly. And knowing this, I shall be satisfied. The true Logos is demonstrably Christian science, the natural law of harmony which overcomes discord, not because this science is supernatural or preternatural, nor because it is an infraction of the divine law, but because it is the immutable law of God, good. Christian science silences human will, quiets fear with truth and love, and illustrates the unlabored motion of the divine energy in healing the sick. Through divine science, Spirit, God, unites understanding to eternal harmony. The calm and exalted thought or spiritual apprehension is at peace. Thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. Spirit, God, gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. And this concludes the healing message in the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.
For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory.